Have your Bibles tonight. I would like to ask you to please turn to the book of John. I would like to read from John chapter 3. John chapter 3. I would like to begin with the 22nd verse and read through verse 30. John chapter 3, verses 22 through 30. Before we begin to endeavor to read and try to study from God's holy word, I would ask that you please join your hearts together with me in a moment of prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we lift up our eyes unto the hills from whence cometh our help, knowing that our help comes from the Creator of heaven and earth. Lord, we thank you for the bountiful blessings of life. We know that our lives have been filled to overflowing with more blessings than we can ever begin to count. Thank you for all the natural blessings of life. We thank thee in this cold season that we're able to stay warm. We know there are many that don't have that privilege, and we pray that you would help us all to realize the blessings that we have, the natural blessings and the spiritual blessings. Thank you for the privilege to be able to be in thy house tonight. Thank you for every person who has come, and we pray that you would bless thy word to our hearts and bless us in our service to thee. We pray that thy word would be as seed sown in fertile ground. We pray, Lord, that thou would help us as we study tonight, that we might begin to realize not only the natural gifts that you've given to us, but the spiritual gifts. And we pray that in this season where we do so much giving and receiving of gifts, we pray that we would realize the greatest gifts are not those that can be seen with the natural eye. Help us, Lord, and we pray that you would help us in this season, that we would remember the birth of Jesus Christ and rejoice that Jesus came into the world to save us from our sins. We pray that we might rejoice in his life and looking at his humble birth and thinking about the life that he lived. And as he lived his life to thy name's honor and glory, and for the good of thy people, as a great example for thy people. And we pray that thou would help us to follow in the footsteps of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We do beg thy blessings upon all those who stand in special need of thy help. Bless all the ones that are on the prayer list, all the members and friends of the church that are not able to be here, and we pray that you would strengthen them, encourage them, and lift them up. Pray that you would bless those who are here that have special burdens and problems, that you would touch them, bless them, and bless their families. Continue to be with all of thy people the world over. Bless our soldiers on foreign soil. We pray that you would be with them this night wherever they are. And bless them and their families during this season, that though they're separated by many miles, we pray that you would bless them all to be filled with the Spirit of God and be able to feel the peace of God that passeth all understanding. Though they're not experiencing natural peace, bless them to experience spiritual peace. Again, now we pray that thou would help us all during this coming week. Help us and lead us not into temptation and deliver us from evil, and help us to live lives that would honor and glorify thee. We beg thy blessings upon the children next Sunday night. We pray that you would bless them as they come and sing, that they would do it to thy name's honor and glory, that you would bless the parents and all those that work with them, that they would have the strength and grace to conduct the service in a way that would honor and glorify thee. Be with us all now and help us in every needed way. We pray in the blessed and holy name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. John chapter 3, beginning in verse 22 and reading through verse 30. John chapter 3, beginning in verse 22. The Word of God says, "After these things came Jesus and his disciples into the land of Judea, and there he tarried with them and baptized. And John also was baptizing in Enon near to Salem, because there was much water there. And they came and were baptized, for John was not yet cast into prison. Then there arose a question between some of John's disciples and the Jews about purifying. And they came unto John and said unto him, Rabbi, he that was with thee beyond Jordan, to whom thou bearest witness, behold, the same baptizeth, and all men come to him. John answered and said, A man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. Ye yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but that I am sent before him. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom, which standeth and heareth him, rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This my joy, therefore, is fulfilled. He must increase, but I must decrease. If correctly read, that's John chapter 3, verses 22 through 30. Probably the most familiar verse of Scripture in that passage is the last verse that I read, where John the Baptist said, "He must increase, but I must decrease." And I pray that God will help all of us to realize that that's really the focus of everything John the Baptist was saying. The people were arguing. John's disciples were arguing, saying that the people are beginning to give more glory to Jesus than they are to you. There are beginning to be more disciples of Jesus than there are disciples of you. And John the Baptist said, "I am not the light. I told you from the beginning that I am not the light. I came to bear witness of the light. I am not the bridegroom. Jesus is the bridegroom. I must decrease, but he must increase." John the Baptist gave glory to Jesus Christ. He prepared the way of the Lord, and there were many people who followed him, but he was pointing everyone to Jesus Christ. And in the midst of all these verses that I've just read, in John chapter 3 and verse 27, I want you to notice the particular expression that's found there, where John answered and said, "A man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven." I want you to think about that expression, that a man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. And especially the thought that God gives men things. A man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. Now there are many other scriptures that teach that same truth. Probably the most familiar one is James 1:17, which says that every good gift and every perfect gift cometh down from the Father of lights. That is, all the blessings that we have, they come from God. That's basically what John is saying right here. He says, the only reason that I'm able to preach, the only reason that I'm able to do anything that the people were thankful for, the only reason I'm able to do any of those things is because it was given to me from what? Above. It was given to me from above. It was given to me from heaven. God gave me the privilege. You remember how when he first saw the Lamb of God and he recognized him as the Savior, do you remember that John the Baptist said, "I'm not even worthy to kneel down and to lace up his shoes. I'm not worthy to kiss his feet. I'm not worthy to do anything. Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God." He knew that he was not worthy, and he continued to declare that he was not worthy even up until this point that we're reading right here. "Everything I have," John says, "everything that I have, everything that I have done is because God gave me that privilege." Do you know it's a privilege that you have to be in God's house tonight? And do you know who gave you that privilege? You know, sometimes we think, well, you know, somebody ought to honor me for being in God's house on Sunday night. Somebody ought to honor me for all that I'm doing. Did you know the only reason you're in God's house, the only reason you have a desire to be in God's house, the only reason you have the ability to be in God's house is because it was given you from above. The gift of life is a great blessing. And there are many, many other gifts that God has given to us. We could talk all about our natural gifts. And in this season where many of us will be giving and receiving gifts, we like to receive gifts. We like to think about what was the best gift that we got. But I want you to know tonight that there are gifts from God that far exceed any of the gifts that you'll get during the season of the year from men. Even all those natural gifts you get, they still, ultimately, they came from God. Nobody is able to give you anything that's good except it come from God. So every gift that we have, every good gift and every perfect gift comes from God. No man is able to receive anything except it be given to him from above. So I want us to think, and the amazing thing is that you can study the Word of God and you can come up with an untold number of gifts that God has given to us. The amazing thing is just to take one book of the Bible and just to look in one book of the Bible at all the different things, not all even, But look at some of the things in one book of the Bible where God emphasizes all the things that He has given to us. And that's what I want us to do tonight, is just take the book of John and just talk tonight just from the book of John, just looking at the words of Jesus in the book of John, and think about what are some of the gifts that God has given to us. What are some things that God has given to you? And probably some of those things you would not even realize how important they are. For example, if I were to say to you, is living water important to you? Is living water important to you? I don't know whether most of us really even understand what living water is. We talk about spiritual food and we talk about spiritual drink. But listen, brethren, we have a need of natural food. And Jesus, in that example prayer that we tried to study this morning, in that example prayer, one of the things He says is that we're to pray, give us this day our daily bread. Give us this day our daily bread. Now, I think that possibly the main thing He was talking about there was the food that we have for our natural body, but I believe also the emphasis there is the spiritual food. Give us this day our daily bread. We need the bread of heaven. We need spiritual water for our soul, and we need spiritual food for our soul. Did you know that living water is a gift from God? You remember how Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, the Beatitudes, one of the things that He said there was, blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Now that hungering and thirsting that Jesus was talking about there has nothing to do with eating natural food or drinking natural water. It's talking about eating spiritual food and drinking spiritual water. And we need to praise God. You know, I'm glad that we have natural water. If you've ever been thirsty, you appreciate water or things to drink. And listen, I believe that the biggest problem we have today is not things we need for our body, but we don't recognize and realize that our gift that God has for our soul, and we're not getting the things that we need for our soul because we're not asking God for the things we need for our soul. We need living water. And that's what, you remember that Jesus went to that woman in the well. By the way, do you know what chapter that's in, where Jesus went to the woman at the well? John chapter 4, very next chapter. I want you to look in your Bible at John chapter 4, where Jesus went to the woman. You can go home. We're not going to have time to dwell on any one of these gifts, but I just want you to realize that living water is a gift from God. And I want you to realize that we need to thank God for that gift. You know, if somebody gives me a pocket knife, I thank them for that. Somebody gives me a flashlight, I thank them for that. The things that we like to get. But listen, brethren, I'm talking about gifts from God that are better than all the other gifts that you'll get during the season of the year. And we need to be asking God for these gifts. There are some gifts that God gives to us even though we don't ask Him. But there are some gifts that God only gives to His people if they ask Him for those gifts. And this living water, God tells us here, He tells this woman that He asked from her natural water. And she gave Him that natural water, and He said, if you knew who you were talking to, you would ask, and I would give you living water. If you did what? If you did ask, I would give you living water. You know, one reason we don't get the water we need for our soul is because we're not asking God to give us that living water. We need to ask Him, God, give me that living water. Give me. I need You to give me that living water. I need that gift of God for my soul called living water. Look at John chapter 4. John 4, listen to verses 9 and 10. John chapter 4, we're talking about some of the gifts from God, some gifts that God has given us, some of those gifts that we need to be asking God for. John chapter 4, verses 9 and 10, the Word of God says, Then saith the woman of Samaria unto Him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the what? What's the next expression there? If thou knewest the gift of God. Now, I don't think the gift of God right there is living water. What do you think if Jesus, when Jesus says right here, If thou knewest the what? the gift of God. I think he's talking about Jesus right there. If thou knewest the gift of God, I think that gift is Jesus Christ. If thou knewest me, if you knew who I was, if you know who I am, if thou knewest the gift of God and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him and he would have given thee living water. Listen, brethren, do you know Jesus Christ? Do you know that he's the gift of God? That Jesus is the gift of God. That was one of the great prophecies in the Old Testament. Unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is what?
Given.
A son. Jesus Christ. Unto us a son is given. Jesus Christ is given to us. And that's the greatest gift of all. That's the unspeakable gift. That's what I wanted to get to at the end. But I just got to go ahead and tell you right now that the greatest gift of all is Jesus Christ. Not just talking about that God gave him to the world. I'm talking about God gave him to me. That's the greatest gift I have is Jesus Christ. In everything in my life, it comes through Jesus Christ. Every other gift I have, it's because of the gift of God. That the way the Scripture says in 2 Corinthians 9:15, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Now what is that unspeakable gift? That gift, not unspeakable gifts. There are a lot of unspeakable gifts, but there's one gift that excels them all, and that's the gift of Jesus Christ. Amen. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. That's Jesus. And that's what Jesus is talking about to this woman. Said, if you knew the gift of God, if you knew me, if you knew Jesus Christ, you would have asked, and I would have given you the gift. I would have given you living water. Now, if you know Jesus Christ, you know what you need to be asking God for? You need to be asking Jesus for what? Living water. Living water is a gift from God. Our souls, just like our bodies, need food and water. Our souls need food and water. I thirst. You know that songwriter, I think it's called Dwelling in Beulah Land. That songwriter, he penned those words that say something to the effect of, I'm living on the mountain underneath a cloudless sky. I'm drinking from the fountain that never shall run dry. Do you know what he was writing about there when he says, I'm drinking from the fountain that never shall run dry? He was talking about that living water. He's talking about that pure river of water of life that flows from the throne of God for the people of God to drink of that pure river of water. There's a river. There is a river from God to the people of God, to the city of God, and it makes the people of God glad to drink this living water. Your soul is drying up if you're not drinking this living water. You're perishing. You know, there are a lot of malnourished people in this world. There are a lot of children. Sometimes we see them on television, children that their stomachs are just distended and all swollen up, and yet their arms are just very thin. There's hardly anything left to those little children because they're malnourished. They need good, natural food. Well, I believe that most of God's children today spiritually look like those children that we see on television. That spiritually they're so thirsty and they don't even know what the problem is. They don't know that they need water, living water for their soul, and they don't know they need spiritual food. And so Jesus says to this woman, if you knew the gift of God, you would have asked of me and I would have given you something. I would have given you something. Do you know the gift of God? Do you know the gift of God? Do you know Jesus? If you know Jesus, I'm telling you tonight, you need to ask him for this gift called living water. This isn't in the same passage of Scripture, but in Luke chapter 11, verse 13, Jesus makes this statement. He says, if ye being evil... And that's what we all are, sinners. If ye being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that what?
Ask.
Them that ask him. Giving of the Holy Spirit. Giving this living water. Jesus says, if you'll ask, I'll give you this living water. And every morning I would encourage you, I beg you, I exhort you in the name of Jesus Christ, that you would get up in the morning and not just pray, God, give me the food, the natural food for my body, but you would pray, God, give me the food I need for my soul and give me the living water that I need for my soul. That's the first thing Jesus is concentrating on here. Whenever he talks about, he begins after John and says that no man can receive anything except it be given him from above. That's what John emphasized. And Jesus follows that up by saying, now if you will ask for living water, I'll give you living water. Come to John chapter 6. He talks about something else that we need besides the living water, and that's the living food, the spiritual food. Spiritual meat, spiritual bread, spiritual food is for our souls, and it's a gift from God. How do you get that? Did you know I can't feed you spiritual food? I do not have that ability. Did you know that? Doesn't matter how hard I try, doesn't matter how much I want to, I cannot feed your soul. It's Jesus that has to do that. I can stand here and preach, but your soul will not receive 1 ounce of spiritual food. It won't receive one morsel of bread unless God feeds your soul. And you need to ask God to feed your soul, and you need to ask God to water your soul. In John chapter 6, verse 27, Jesus is talking about some of the gifts. Oh, during this season, when we're giving and receiving gifts, you may count up your gifts, see how many you got. You might think about what were the best gifts you got this Christmas. The best gifts you'll have are the gifts from God, the spiritual gifts from God. That living water is a great gift. It satisfies your soul. You know, people can be poor but be satisfied in their soul. Did you know that? There are a lot of these people that sit here on Sunday morning that come from the nursing home and they're in those wheelchairs. There are a lot of those people. In fact, I would say almost every one of those people are very poor people. But did you know they all have most all of them have something that most of us are lacking? That is, their soul is full. They're happy in the Lord. They're satisfied with what they have because they have more than what we have. You know what they have? They have that living water. They have that spiritual food. In John chapter 6 and verse 27, Jesus says, labor not. What are we laboring for in our lives? We all know honestly what we're laboring for. We know what we're working for. We know what we're spending most of our time and our energy to try to get. We're laboring for the natural things. And Jesus says here in John 6, 27, He says, labor not for the meat which perisheth. Did you know everything we have materially, it all perishes away. It all is going to go back to the dust of the earth. All going to perish. Doesn't matter how much money you get. Doesn't matter how many toys you get. Doesn't matter how much you accumulate. He says, don't labor for that meat which perisheth. Don't labor for those material things. He says, labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall... What's the next word there? Which the Son of Man shall what? Give. What are we talking about tonight? We're talking about gifts from God. We're talking about gifts that are better than any other gift that you'll get during this Christmas season. He says, labor for that meat which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for unto Him the Father, for Him hath God the Father sealed. Come down to verse 35. Still talking about the gift of spiritual food. He says, labor for that spiritual food, spiritual meat, in verse 27. Then you come to John 6, verse 35, and Jesus said unto them, I am the what? The bread of life. How many of you like bread? How many of you really like bread? You know, some people are meat, potatoes, and bread people, and some are dessert people, and some are vegetable people, and people like different kinds of things. Good bread is, if you've ever been to, and maybe you don't like bread, but if you've ever been to Ryan's, That's what Bryson wants every time we go there. We sit down. He says, bring the bread. And we slice that bread. He likes to just put that butter on and eat that. That's good bread. You know, it's good to children. It's good to anybody that likes bread, I think, would like that. But there's bread better than that. Far better than that. Just like that bread tastes good to these natural taste buds, there's the bread of heaven. And that bread of heaven, just like Bryson says, bring the bread, give me the bread. When the waitress comes around, we ought to be every morning, we ought to wake up saying, Lord, give me the bread. I need the bread because Jesus has already laid it forth in His Word. I am the bread of life. I am the meat. I am the bread of life. He says, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me, this is John 6:35, he that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. If you go to Christ, what's He going to feed you? What's He going to give you? He's going to give you the living water, and He's going to give you the bread of life, and He's going to give you the meat to go with the bread. Jeff, my son-in-law, almost every Sunday for lunch, he wants to take a piece of bread. After he finishes his meal, this is his dessert. He doesn't like sweets a lot. He likes to take a piece of bread, cut it open, take a piece of meat, put it between those two pieces of bread, and that's his dessert. Meat and bread. You know what Jesus concentrates on right here? Meat and bread. You know what we need for our souls? Meat and bread. Not steak and yeast rolls. We're talking about the living water, the living bread, the living meat. We're talking about Jesus Christ. That's a gift from God. He says, you come to me. You come to me. Jesus says, you come to me, I'll give you this living water. You come to me, you'll never thirst. You come to me, I'll give you not only living water, I'll give you meat. I'll give you bread for your soul. You think you get happy over meat and bread, steak and potatoes, and all other kinds of natural food, you'll be happier when you get the spiritual food than any natural food can ever make you. Joy comes from partaking of this water and of this bread, the bread of heaven, the living water, and the meat that perisheth not. Now, go with me to John chapter 10. I want you to notice something else that's a gift. In John chapter 10, there's another gift that's from God that's mentioned here. John chapter 10, we've already mentioned the living water, we've mentioned the meat, and we've mentioned the bread. In John chapter 10, in verse 27 and 28, Jesus says, My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them what? Eternal life. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Jesus gives us eternal life. Where are you going to find a better gift than that? Eternal life. I'm not just talking about eternal life in eternal heaven, that you know you can lay hold on eternal life right now here in this world. And that's what we as God's people, we need to be praying for and asking God for. Lord, I want that eternal life. What is eternal life? Jesus explains it later in this same book. He says, this is life eternal, that they might know Thee, the one true and living God, and know Jesus Christ whom Thou hast sent. If you really know God, if you know Him, you know what you're going to do? You're going to have that's having eternal life if you really know Him. And you know what you're going to do? What did He say in John 6? If you know who I am, you're going to come to me and you're going to ask me, and I'm going to give you food and I'm going to give you drink. I'm going to give you living water and I'll give you the bread of life. Do you know Jesus? Do you have eternal life? You know where you got eternal life? To give from God. I give. You see the word give there in John 10:28? I give unto them eternal life. It's a gift from God. I give unto them eternal life. I give them meat. I give them bread. I give them living water. Go with me to John chapter 14. There's something here that's very, very important. John chapter 14. Isn't it pretty? I thought about this today. You know, some people don't like their packages wrapped up. I kind of like to unwrap the packages. Even if I watch Mama or Teresa wrap it, I still like to unwrap it. You know what I mean? Well, I kind of thought about this when I was studying this week. I thought, you know, this is kind of like a big, the book of John's like a big package, a big Christmas package. It's got a bunch of little packages in it. And you sit here and you read the book of John. This is the way I felt this week. I thought, you know, this is like, oh, here's another little gift. Here's another, not little, well, you know what I'm, you know the point I'm trying to draw. Here's another gift. Here's another wonderful gift. Great gifts from God. Wonderful gifts from God. They're coming from God. And that's what the book of John, Jesus in the book of John says, here's a gift. Here's a gift. I give you living water. I give you meat that never perishes. I give you the bread of heaven. I give you eternal life. And then John chapter 14, look at John 14 verse 27. In John 14 verse 27, Jesus says, peace I leave with you. My peace I, what's the next word there? My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Did you know your heart will not be troubled, and you will not be afraid if you have peace from God? I tried to mention in my prayer, those men of God that are overseas, our soldiers that are overseas, did you know they don't have natural peace this Christmas season? Did you know that? They don't have that natural peace. And there are a lot of other people. Listen, there are families in this church that don't have any natural peace in their home. There are some families in this church that have got as big a turmoil and big as mess as you've ever seen in your life in their homes. No natural peace at all. No natural peace. But you know what they can have in their soul in spite of all the unrest? You know what those soldiers can have over in Iraq? They can have the peace of God which passeth all understanding. And that's the only way that a soldier can be happy over there if he's a child of God, is if God gives him peace in his soul. And that peace is better than natural peace. I'd rather have the peace of God in all kinds of conflict. I'd rather be in the middle of a civil war and an attack from other nations in our land than to not have and have the peace of God than to not have the peace of God and be at total natural peace. Some churches talk about, oh, we're at peace. Well, yeah, graveyards are too. You know it? A lot of churches that are at peace. There's no conflict, but there's no life there. A lot of churches are dead. They're dead churches. Well, listen, brethren, if the church is alive, it's going to be full of something. You know what it's going to be full of? It's going to be full of the gifts of God. You know what the people of God that make up the church ought to be full of? They ought to be full of the gifts of God. And if we're doing what we ought to do, we're going to be happy in the house of God. Did you know that? There's some people that aren't happy in the house of God. Do you know why? If I'm ever not happy in the house of God, do you know why I'm not happy? It's because I'm not doing what I ought to do. I can't blame it on you. I can't blame it on my wife. I can't blame it on anybody else. If I'm not happy in the Lord, it's my fault. I'm not living the way I ought to do. I'm not doing what I ought to do. Jesus is not giving me the gifts I need because I'm not living the way I ought to live. Jesus has special gifts for His obedient children while they live here in this world. Special gifts. And there are some gifts He gives to all of His children, but there are special gifts that He only gives to His obedient children while they live here in this world. And this peace, He says to His disciples here, He says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Now, did they have any conflict in their life? Did they have any conflict in their life? Did these disciples that He left, did they have trouble? Did people still hate them, despise them, stone them, kill them? But you know what they had in their soul? They had a gift from God. You know what that gift from God was they had in their soul when they were being killed? They had the peace of God which passeth all understanding. Isn't that good to have the peace of God? It's a gift from God. It's a gift from God. You need to thank God. If you have the peace of God, you need to thank God for that peace. And if you don't have that peace, you need to pray, God, give me this gift. I need the gift of peace from you. Help me to live in such a way so that I can have these gifts. Do you have to live a certain way to get the living water, to get the meat? Yes. Do you have to live a certain way to get these gifts? Yes. These gifts are conditional gifts. These gifts are dependent on you doing something. John chapter 17, listen to one other chapter. In John chapter 17, he talks about two different gifts in John 17. John 17 verse 8, listen here. We'll close with this one chapter. Just two things he mentions here in the book of John. John 17 verse 8, he tells us about another gift. You see, don't you want to just keep opening these gifts? That's the way I feel. I just want to keep on opening them. That's the joy I've had this week, is just I've opened a lot of other gifts that I haven't even started to just mention to you tonight. A lot of other gifts that God's given to His people in this world. John chapter 17, verse 8, listen to what Jesus says. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me. Put a price on the value of the Word of God. Put a price on that. How valuable is the Word of God? Do you know where this church would be if it weren't for the Word of God? We'd be nowhere. We'd be nothing. We'd have nothing to offer. We would be divided, because the only thing that keeps us together is the Word of God. Did you know that? That's the only rule of faith and practice. That's the only common ground that we all have. We don't have a common ground as far as education is concerned. We don't have a common ground as far as money is concerned. We don't have a common ground as far as anything else. The one common ground we have is Jesus Christ and the Word of God. That's what binds us together. That's the reason we're all together, is because of, and Jesus says here, I give unto them the words which thou hast given me. Jesus has given us his word. What a sad thing. How would you like to give somebody something as precious as this gift and them not even use it all week? Wouldn't that be sad? To give somebody something as precious as the word of God and them never use it all week long. John chapter 17, listen to one other verse in that scripture where he talks about giving us the word of God. In John 17 verse 14, he says, I have given them thy word. You see that? I've given them thy word. The word of God has been given to us by God. It's a precious gift from God. One other thing he says he gives in verse 22, he says, and the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. You see that in John 17, 22? The glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. The glory of God is a gift from God. To be able to be one, to be able to be one with each other, and to be able to be one with Christ. The unity that is a gift from God is because the glory of God has been shed abroad in our lives. Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift, which is Jesus Christ. But also thanks be unto God for all these other gifts. And I haven't even begun to scratch the surface on all the gifts that God has given to us. May God help us to be thankful to Him and to praise Him for the gifts that He's given to us, is my prayer for Christ's sake.